Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Ana Maroto, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. We're going to have the artist of today, the Exposito Brothers, a duo of tango composers, one of the most fruitful songwriting partnerships in the history of tango. We'll also be sharing a feature on the World Cup 2022 from the Sports Files. It's a great channel on YouTube that does documentaries about football. And there is a chapter on each major tournament, and we have the chapter devoted to the World Cup 2022 that Argentina won on the occasion of Argentina playing its last friendly matches in the country before the World Cup 2026 in the US, Mexico and Canada. And also today we'll have the DX supplement of every week, which is produced by Arnaldo Slime. If you want to contact us, you can use the email qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. You may listen to us on the shortwaves. The frequency is 5850 kilohertz, and the internet webpage is rae.com.ar, and also you can listen to us via our app for mobile devices, Digital RAE, that you can download for free. Let's get started now with the first track of today. This is a song by one of the most popular groups in Argentina of the past 20 years, Tan Biónica, headed by the charismatic frontman Chano, that has had some problems over the years with addictions, but he's made a comeback, and the band gave a couple of very successful concerts recently in Buenos Aires. This is one of their biggest hits, dedicated to the city of Buenos Aires, Magical City.
Intento seguirte, pero no doy más. Sospecho que el tiempo se nos va a acabar. Estás algo loca y sos tan clásica. Deja que la noche nos proponga más. Decime que sí, hacer como yo. A veces sos tan genial. Persigo tus ojos por la capital. Me gusta que seas tan dramática. Tus ojos dibujan una eternidad. Y está muy bien así. Por hoy no pienses más. Yo sé que lo necesitas. Me quedo con vos, yo sigo de largo. Voy a buscarte. Mágica ciudad de Buenos Aires. Se queman las horas de esta manera. Nadie me espera. Como me gusta verte caminar así. Me quedo con vos, yo sigo de largo. Voy a buscarte. Me mata como te mueves por todas partes. Se queman las horas de esta manera. Nadie me espera. Esta eternidad me son suficientes para recordar. Tus piernas bailando son tan mágicas. La noche se presta para mucho más. Y está muy bien así. Por hoy no pienses más. Yo sé que lo necesitas. Me quedo con vos, yo sigo de largo. Voy a buscarte. Qué noche mágica. De largo voy a buscarte. Me mata.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界。
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mondo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina to the World presents Homero and Virgilio Expósito, two brothers whose fate was poetry and tango. The provincial capital of tango, Zárate, in Buenos Aires province, is the place where several important people in the history of tango were raised. Among them, Homero and Virgilio Expósito. The father was an anarchist activist who made a living as a baker, but what he really wanted to be was a poet. Naming his children Homero and Virgilio shows just how much he loved literature.Homero, a poet and a lyricist, was born in 1918 and was sent to a boarding school in Buenos Aires. Virgilio, in turn, who was a composer and a pianist, was born 5 years later in 1924. And this is one of Virgilio's daughters, recalling her father and uncle's first creative steps. Mónica recalls that her father, Virgilio, asked his mother a piano,when he was 5, and he studied from that age on in an academy of Zárate. He went to a military high school. She also remembers her uncle Homero was sent to the San Jose Boarding School in Buenos Aires, where he won every literary contest he took part in. She also recalls that they were very demanding with themselves as songwriters.Talking about Virgilio and Homero. They could make up to 35 versions of one single song until they made up their mind on which was the best. In 1938, they wrote their first tango song together.They were 19 and 14 respectively. Despite the piece not becoming very popular, it was sung by the then-renowned singer and actress, Libertad Lamarque, that the brothers had met by chance on a train. When Homero finished high school, he began studying at the Philosophy and Literature School of the University of Buenos Aires. But he didn't graduate, although he gained a considerable literary background that would be reflected on his lyrics,and his poetry. His brother Virgilio, in turn, who had played piano since he was little, had as a mentor during his teenage years one of the greatest composers of academic music of our country, Alberto Ginastera, who encouraged his student to compose and expand his musical knowledge. Virgilio was an excellent pianist and he integrated music groups of the most diverse genres, mainly tango, but also jazz. By the early 1940s,The brothers had already penned various pieces that were recorded by the best orchestras and singers of the then fashionable music of Argentina's capital. Of course, we are talking about tango.
Estaba recordando tu casa, mi casa, portal donde la luna se volvió esperando, cedrón en donde el viento se perfuma y pasa, y al ver que nos pusimos viejos y todo fue en vano, siento un vals en tu piano llorar y me pongo a pensar si no llora de amor.Era la era primera que apaga la agujera y enciende el rumor. Un
una tarde te acuerdas, un beso debajo del cerezo sellaba nuestro amor. Pudo el amor ser un nudo más duro que pudo luchando vencer. Una casa era pobre, otra rica, fácilmente se explica que no pudo ser. Y así, por el recuerdo lloro, tu casa, mi casa, tu amor que está guardado en un estuche de oro. Mi amor que al fin de darse se quedó sin brasas, y al ver que nos pusimos viejos y estamos tan solos, siento un vals en tu piano llorar y me pongo a pensar si no llora de amor. Llega la era primera que apaga la hoguera y enciende el rubor. Una tarde te acuerdas con un beso debajo del cerezo se llama nuestro amor. Pudo el amor ser un nudo más duro que pudo luchando vencer. Una casa era pobre, otra rica, fácilmente se explica que no pudo ser. Una casa era pobre, otra rica, fácilmente se explica que no pudo ser.
One of those compositions was Absurd, which was recorded by Edmundo Rivero. Very frequently, experts and tango scholars name Homero as the most original and representative of the genre poets, who brought together the characteristics of the two other great lyricists of tango. On one hand, Homero Manzi and his nostalgic romanticism, and also, on the other hand, the skeptical view of Enrique Santos Discépolo. Mimo, as he was called by family and friends, is remembered as a genius, and he's remembered as such by another of the great composers of the time, pianist Attilio Stampone, who recalls this way how they created together the song Affiche.
Bueno, ese tema es mi primer tango que se llama Affiche.
Stampone recalls that Homero Expósito would frequently come home for dinner. And during one of those visits, while Homero ate with his mother in the kitchen, Attilio played the piano in another room. A little later, from a phone, Homero would dictate the tailor-made lyrics to the melody he had heard while having lunch. And that's how Affiche was born, Stampone's first song. Homero was a genius among geniuses, says his old friend.
Y después se iba al café de la esquina.
Cruel en el cartel, la propaganda manda cruel en el cartel y en el fetiche de un afiche de papel se vende la ilusión, se rifa el corazón y apareces tú vendiendo el último jirón de juventud cargándome otra vez la cruz. Cruel en el cartel, te ríes corazón, dan ganas de balearse en un rincón. Ya da la noche a la cancel.
In 1947, at the age of 23, Virgilio is named director of Radio Splendid's orchestra. In addition to composing, he makes musical arrangements, produces other musicians, and travels to the US to play jazz. In the 60s, he moves to Brazil, where he lived for various years, working for RCA Victor label. In Brazil, he records with singer Paul Anka an album entirely in Spanish. Together with his brother Homero, he wrote hundreds of songs, like this one, Makeup, interpreted here by singer Adriana Varela with Virgilio himself on the piano.
Porque ese cielo azul que todos vemos ni es cielo ni es azul. lástima grande que no sea verdad tanta belleza. Lupercio Leonardo de Argensola, 1559-1613. Ni es cielo, ni es azul, ni es cierto tu candor, ni al fin tu juventud. Tú compras el carmín y el pote de rubor que tiembla en tus mejillas y ojeras con verdín para llenar de amor tu máscara de arcilla. Tú, qué tímida y fatal, te arreglas el dolor después de sollozar. Sabrás cómo te amé un día al despertar sin fe ni maquillaje, ya lista para el viaje que desciende hasta el color final. Mentira, que son mentiras tu virtud, tu amor y tu bondad, y al fin tu juventud. Mentira, te maquillaste el corazón, mentira sin piedad. Qué lástima de amor. Tú compras el carmín y el pote de rubor que tiembla en tus mejillas y ojeras con verdín para llenar de amor tu máscara de arcilla. Tú, qué tímida y fatal, te arreglas el dolor después de sollozar. Sabrás cómo te amé un día al despertar sin fe ni maquillaje, ya lista para el viaje que desciende hasta el color final.
Scholar José Govelo assures that tango was not made to sing about what you have, but about what you've lost. And there are many Expósito Brothers pieces that completely and utterly respect that norm. One example, Orange Tree in Blossom, interpreted here by singer Roberto Goyeneche.
Era más blanda que el agua, que el agua blanda, era más fresca que el río. Naranjo en flor, y en esa calle de estío, calle perdida, dejó un pedazo de vida y se marchó. Primero hay que saber sufrir, después amar, después partir y al fin andar sin pensamiento. Perfume de naranjo en flor, promesas vanas de un amor que se escaparon en el viento. Después, ¿qué importa del después? Toda mi vida es el ayer que me detiene en el pasado. Eterna y vieja juventud que me ha dejado acobardado como un pájaro sin luz. ¿Qué le habrán hecho mis manos? ¿qué le habrán hecho para dejarme en el pecho tanto dolor, dolor de vieja arboleda, canción de esquina y con un pedazo de vida, naranjo en flor? Primero hay que saber sufrir, después amar, después partir y al fin andar sin pensamiento. Perfume de naranjo en flor, promesas vanas de un amor que se escaparon con el viento. Después, ¿qué importa del después? Toda mi vida es el ayer que me detiene en el pasado. Eterna y vieja juventud que me ha dejado acobardado como un pájaro sin luz.
While pursuing a career as a poet, Miro Exposito also tried to start some gastronomic ventures without much success. He also worked hard at the SADAIC organization that defends the rights of Argentine musicians. Homero died in 1987, several years after retiring from writing. Virgilio, in turn, continued playing until his death in 1997. Both were and are recognized as some of the best five tango writers in history. And even though their names are completely tied to tango, we also have to mention Vete de mí, Get Away from Me, a bolero song that the brothers wrote by chance in 1936, which would end up becoming an icon of the genre, recorded more than 400 times by various artists. And this is Virgilio's rendition. Argentina to the World presented the Exposito Brothers. Production, Julieta Galván. Voiceover, Fernando Farías. Edition, Esteban Villarroel.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, let's do now the DX supplement that is produced every week by Arnaldo Slaen. For our DXing friends all over the world, we start right away with hearings that, you know, is something you find very useful and interesting. We start with the voice of Mongolia, operating from the, let me get that right, Konkor. Yes, that's Konkor transmitter site. This station is a must-have for collectors. due to its remote location and use of vintage Soviet equipment. This station can be picked up between 0900 and 0930 UTC time in English on 12,085 kHz, targeting East Asia and the Pacific. Between 9:30 and 10 UTC time, it goes on the air in Chinese on 12,085 kHz. Between 10 and 10:30 UTC time, Mongolian on 12,085 kHz. Between 10:30 and 11 UTC time, Japanese is the language on 12,085 kHz. And between 13:30 and 1400 hours UTC time, the language is Mongolian on 12,015 kHz, targeting Central Asia. And then between 14 and 14:30 UTC time, you've got the Russian language, and the frequency is 12,015 kHz, 12,015 kHz, that is, targeting Russia and Europe. Moving on now to Tajik Radio, the voice of Tajik, one of the most stable signals in Central Asia, broadcasting from Yangi Yul near Dushanbe. The frequency is 4,765 kHz, and the schedule is the station operates almost 24 hours a day, mostly in the Tajik language, with only brief technical breaks. Next, we've got Kyrgyz Radio 1, the official voice of the Kyrgyz Republic, Kyrgyzstan, broadcasting from the Krasnaya Rechka plant. I said that again. Krasnaya Rechka plant, near the capital of Kyrgyzstan, or the Kyrgyz Republic, Bishkek. I apologize to all our friends out there in that area who know how to say and pronounce all these names correctly. I'm coming across many of them for the first time. Frequency 4010 kHz for Kyrgyz Radio 1. The power of this station is 100 kW and is one of the few remaining stations on the 75-meter band. The catch is while they broadcast in Kyrgyz from midnight to 6 p.m. UTC time. The best time for international listeners is Monday to Friday between 1200 and 1230 UTC time for their special program in Russian. Reception reports. They are still issuing QSLs, and you can send your technical reports to public at ktrk.kg or ktrksite@gmail.com. Now, let's talk a little bit about general news related to the world of broadcasting. We've got something coming from Vietnam. VTV8 has signed a major cooperation agreement with the Khan Oa Radio and Television Station. This partnership aims to boost the promotion of local culture, tourism and sports across digital platforms and traditional television. Next, we've got Australia. ABC is on strike. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation, ABC, is facing its first strike in 20 years. Staff are protesting against short-term contracts and sub-inflation pay offers. Interestingly enough, during the walkout, the 24-hour news channel was forced to switch to BBC America programming. And finally, we've got Great Britain, the BBC's new era. The BBC has appointed former Google executive Matt Britton as its new director general, starting May 18. He takes over during a turbulent time as the broadcaster faces a $10 billion defamation lawsuit from Donald Trump and upcoming negotiations regarding its public funding license. And this marks the end of this week's edition of the DX Supplement that is produced by Arnaldo Slain. For DX reports, reception reports, use our email, which is dxrai at gmail.com. That was all for this week's DX Supplement. Kind 73s.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
La RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in Divert.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
That, folks, is what I call a chacarera song, a textbook example of the chacarera, the chacarera genre, one of the subgenres of Argentine folk music, really representative of the province of Santiago del Estero, which is where this group, as many chacarera groups are from. Los Manceros Santiagueños is the group which has played on the airwaves of RAI. And that song we shared is called Chacarera, this genre we're talking about, this type of song, this type of rhythm especially. This type of dance is also a very popular dance. This would be a chacarera song for life, but not for life like forever. It means dedicated to life or celebrating life. That would be the proper translation of this track by Los Manceros Santiagueños.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina, mission 世界.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
La RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in the world.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, now we're going to share a piece on how Argentina won the 2022 FIFA World Cup. This content is not ours. I borrowed it from a YouTube channel that I really like, which is called The Sports Files. I really recommend it to check their content out. But even though this works with some graphics going on, you can listen to it as well. And it's pretty informative in English about campaigns. I mean, sporting campaigns, footballing campaigns. They have content about, well, practically every major tournament, all of the World Cups and all of the Euros also. I think they have content about Copas Americas, which would be the South American counterpart of the Euro. But obviously they cover all of the World Cups, and this is the newest chapter on the World Cup 2022. The reason we are playing it is that we, as you know, won it. The other reason is that these days we're talking about the national team, as Argentina is playing its final friendly matches in the country before the World Cup in the US, Mexico and Canada in a couple of months. Argentina played Mauritania last Friday, lackluster game. Everybody, including the players, expressed their disappointment with the way the team won 2-1 over a practically unknown rival. And Argentina is playing today versus Zambia. These are going to be the final games in the country before the World Cup in June. That's when it starts. And there are going to be a couple more friendly matches, one for sure, maybe another one before the beginning of the World Cup, but none of those games are going to be held in the country. So this is the context for me wanting to share with you this this content that you can check out on YouTube channel The Sports Files on how Argentina won the 2022 World Cup.
The 2022 FIFA World Cup was the tournament in which Lionel Messi finally reached the pinnacle. After 18 years of World Cup heartbreak, Messi led Argentina to become the world champions for the third time. The tournament culminated in arguably the most remarkable final in World Cup history. It also featured Morocco's miracle run, the most remarkable by an African team in tournament history. Lastly, this competition saw Brazil once again suffer another heartbreaking defeat. This is the story of the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Messi was widely considered a GOAT-level player, but there was one significant counter-argument. He had not yet won a major international title. That all changed when Argentina won the 2021 Copa America. It felt like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders. The happiness is immense. Many times I dreamed of this. Argentina went into the 2022 tournament full of confidence. They were on a remarkable 36-game unbeaten run and were regarded as among the favourites to become champions. The 2022 edition was different to previous tournaments. Qatar had been controversially chosen as host. Due to the extreme heat, the games were held in November and December. Despite the negative feedback, Sepp Blatter remained defiant. The Arabic world deserves a World Cup. They have 22 countries and have not had any opportunity to host the tournament before, Blatter stated in 2010. Argentina was drawn into a group with Mexico, Poland and Saudi Arabia. They opened against the Saudis and an easy win was expected. The script seemed to be followed as Argentina made a fast start. Just 10 minutes in, Argentina was awarded a penalty when Leandro Paredes was pulled down during a corner kick. Messi stepped up and calmly rolled the ball in. The goal gave Argentina complete confidence, and they dominated the first half. They scored three more times via Messi and Lautaro Martinez, but all were ruled out due to offside. Saudi Arabia made an impact early in the second half. In the 48th minute, Messi lost the ball in midfield, and a long ball fell to Saleh Al-Sherry. He drove into the box and, from a tight angle, finished into the far corner. Incredibly, just 5 minutes later, Saudi Arabia took the lead. The ball came to Salem Al-Dosari in the corner of the penalty box. He quickly turned inside and curled the ball beautifully into the far corner. Argentina dominated the rest of the match, but despite 14 minutes of stoppage time, they could not find the equaliser. The unbeaten run was over. The result sent shockwaves throughout football. Messi was defiant after the game. "It was a very hard blow for everyone. We did not expect to start this way. Things happen for a reason. We have to prepare for what is coming. We have to win, and it depends on us. There are no excuses." The Saudis were ecstatic after the win. Saudi manager Hervé Renard commented, "Congratulations to these fantastic players. We made history for Saudi football." Argentina played Mexico next. The first half saw few chances, and the game became cagey. The tension among the Argentinian players and crowd seemed to grow as the second half remained goalless. They finally got the breakthrough in the 64th minute. Di Maria passed to Messi 25 yards away from goal. Messi took a lovely first touch and then struck the ball into the bottom corner to give Argentina the lead. Peter Drury commentated, "That's what they came for, the magic man. One more Messi moment." The goal seemed to give the Argentinian players and the crowd a sense of relief. They controlled the rest of the game and sealed the win in the 87th minute. Messi played the ball to Enzo Fernandez. He dribbled into the box and curled a sumptuous shot into the far corner. Messi became the first player to get an assist in 5 World Cups. Argentina won 2-0. "Today, another World Cup starts for Argentina," Messi said after the game. "I tell people the same thing, that they continue to believe. Today we did what we had to do. We had no other choice. We had to win so that we depended only on ourselves." Argentina played Poland in their final group game. They needed to win to secure the top spot. Argentina was more fluent in this game. Late in the first half, they were awarded a controversial penalty when Wojciech Szczęsny tried to punch a ball away but struck Messi instead. Messi took the penalty and hit a powerful shot, but Szczęsny pulled off a stunning save. Argentina quickly recovered with an early goal in the second half. Nahuel Molina played a low cross into the box. Alexis McAllister met it with a low first-time shot that went into the far corner. In the 67th minute, Julian Alvarez clinched a 2-0 win with a powerful shot into the roof of the net. Argentina finished top of the table with 6 points. Another notable group was Group E, which included Germany, Spain, Japan, and Costa Rica. Germany and Spain were favourites to qualify. However, in their opening game, Japan pulled off a shock 2-1 win against Germany. The result proved costly for Germany as they crashed out in the first round for the second World Cup in a row. German media heavily criticised the team. "What remains is an embarrassing World Cup exit from a group containing Japan and Costa Rica. The German national team has once again fallen far short of its own aspirations. It has arrived in grey mediocrity," wrote German newspaper Die Welt. On the other end of the spectrum, Morocco had a remarkable group stage. They were drawn into Group F with Belgium, Croatia and Canada. They pulled off a shock 2-0 win over Belgium and finished top of the group. "We said we wanted to give everything we've got to get out of the group stages," said manager Walid Regragui. "We can tick that box now, so why not aim for the sky?" In the second round, Argentina played Australia. This was Messi's 1,000th professional appearance. Argentina dominated the ball as expected. They created chances but did not score until the 35th minute. Once again, Messi made the difference. He got the ball from a short corner and played it to Nicolas Otamendi. Otamendi passed it to McAllister, who laid it off for Messi. Messi took a touch and passed the ball into the bottom corner. "A 1,000 games and still he excels," exclaimed Peter Drury in commentary. In the 57th minute, Argentina got a second when Matthew Ryan was dispossessed in his box by Alvarez, who then rolled it into the empty net. Australia got one back via Fernandez's own goal, but Argentina won 2-1. Morocco continued its fairy tale run in the second round by beating Spain in a penalty shootout. Spain dominated the ball, but Morocco defended resolutely. Astonishingly, the shootout finished 3-0 because all three takers for Spain missed. Portugal crushed Switzerland 6-1, but the headlines were dominated by Cristiano Ronaldo being dropped for the match. His replacement, Gonçalo Ramos, scored a hat-trick. Portugal manager Fernando Santos commented on Ronaldo, "I think those issues have been solved. I will always consider my role that he is a very important player to have in the team." In the quarterfinals, Argentina played the Netherlands. This was another controversial classic encounter in this long-standing rivalry. Known as the Battle of Lucille, the first half an hour was relatively even with neither team creating a clear chance. In the 35th minute, Messi dribbled with the ball about 35 yards from goal. He then played a sublime reverse through ball to Nahuel Molina, cutting through the Dutch defence. Molina took a nice touch before poking the ball in. Martin Keown, in the commentary, was astonished by the pass. How has he seen that passed? Threads it through the eye of a needle. He's not even looking. The second half was dramatic. The game's intensity grew as the Dutch pushed for an equaliser, and both teams committed fouls. Messi blatantly committed a handball but was not booked, inciting the Dutch players. In the 70th minute, Denzel Dumfries brought down Marcos Acuña, and Argentina were awarded a penalty. Messi took the penalty and calmly placed it into the corner. The Dutch were now desperate for goals. Tempers began to flare and multiple players received yellow cards. Louis van Gaal brought on Wout Weghorst to take advantage of his height. In the 83rd minute, Stefan Berghuis put in a cross that Weghorst superbly headed in. In the 88th minute, Paredes fouled Nathan Ake and smashed the ball straight at the Dutch bench. This caused a significant scuffle as both players from the pitch and bench began shoving each other. More bookings were handed out, including Argentina manager Lionel Scaloni. Due to all the fouls, 10 minutes of stoppage time was allocated. In the 100th minute, the Dutch were awarded a free kick on the edge of the box. It looked like they would shoot, but instead, Theun Koopmeiners faked the shot and played a pass to Weghorst, who took a touch and scored to equalise in the dying seconds of regulation. In extra time, Argentina pressed for a winner and created chances. The most significant chance came to Fernandez, but he hit the post from the edge of the box. The game went into penalties. Emiliano Martinez made the difference. He was happy to try to distract the Dutch while taking their penalties. The Dutch on the halfway line tried intimidation tactics as Argentina players walked up to take their penalties. Van Dijk and Berghuis both had their penalties saved. Fernandez missed for Argentina, but in the end, Argentina won 4-3. The post-game also proved to be controversial. The most notable moment was when Messi had an altercation with Weghorst. "What are you looking at, fool? What are you looking at, fool? Go away, fool. Go away." The performance of referee Antonio Laos was criticised. Emma Smith of BBC Sport reported, "To be unkind, he had an absolute shocker. Brandishing his yellow card with abandon ratcheted tensions considerably. He had long since lost all control. 18 yellow cards and one red card were branded, setting a record for any FIFA international tournament match. Morocco continued its fairy tale run against Portugal. Ronaldo was once again dropped in favour of Ramos. Portugal dominated the ball throughout, but Morocco scored in the 42nd minute. Youssef En-Nesyri scored with a header. Portugal brought on Ronaldo and pressed for an equaliser, but Morocco defended impeccably. They won 1-0 and became the first African team to make it to the final four of a World Cup. Ronaldo left the pitch in tears as it looked like his final chance for a World Cup was over. England lost to France 2-1. Kane scored a penalty but smashed a second penalty high over the bar late. Kane admitted the miss would haunt him. "I'll probably remember it for the rest of my life." Brazil had impressed through the tournament and was heading into the semi-finals when Neymar scored a sublime goal against Croatia in extra time. But in the 117th minute, a defensive lapse cost Brazil, which resulted in Bruno Petkovic scoring. Croatia won the penalty shootout 4-2. "I am psychologically destroyed," Neymar said in an Instagram post after the game. "It is definitely the defeat which has hurt me the most." Argentina played Croatia in the semi-finals. The first 30 minutes were relatively cautious. In the 32nd minute, Alvarez was played through on goal, leading to goalkeeper Dominic Livakovic colliding with Alvarez. A penalty was awarded. Messi once again stepped up and struck it right into the top corner. In the 39th minute, Messi passed to Alvarez, who then made a driving run towards goal. He dribbled for over 40 yards whilst getting past three defenders via a couple of ricochets before scoring from close range. In the 69th minute, Messi provided a superb assist. He got the ball wide in midfield and dribbled towards the byline. He passed Joshko Vardiol twice before teeing the ball to Alvarez, who scored from close range. Argentina won 3-0. The final occurred on December 18th at the Lusail Stadium in front of 90,000 fans. It would be one of the greatest finals in World Cup history. Argentina made a much better start, while France seemed lethargic in comparison. In the 23rd minute, Di Maria got the ball wide on the left and dribbled past Ousmane Dembélé into the box. Dembélé tried to catch up but tripped Di Maria. A penalty was awarded. In commentary, Jermaine Jenas claimed, "It's hard to see if there is actual contact." Messi slotted the ball into the bottom corner to give Argentina the lead. In the 36th minute, Argentina scored one of the best team goals in World Cup history. After winning the ball from a throw-in, Argentina played the ball to McAllister in midfield, who played a first-time pass to Messi. Messi then took a couple of touches and flicked the ball wide to Alvarez. Alvarez then played a first-time pass to McAllister, who continued his run. McAllister then played another first-time pass to Di Maria, who ran onto the ball and shot first time into the bottom corner. Jermaine Jenas described it as the complete team goal from Argentina and one they fully deserve. Deschamps made two substitutes before the half. He took off Olivier Giroud and Dembélé for Kolo Muani and Marcus Thuram. In the second half, Argentina continued its domination. They controlled the game and shut down any French attacks. They looked to be cruising to glory, but the game turned on its head in the 80th minute. Mbappe played a hopeful ball forward that Otamendi should have intercepted, but he was too slow. Kolo Muani beat him to the ball and went through on goal. Otamendi tripped him and a penalty was awarded. Mbappe took the penalty and fired powerfully into the bottom corner. Just a minute later, Kingsley Coman tackled Messi in midfield. France countered and a chip pass came to Mbappe, who headed down to Thuram. Thuram immediately passed it back before Mbappe volleyed the ball into the far corner. Guy Mowbray commented, "Mbappe gets the return in a flash, in a heartbeat." The game became end-to-end. Adrian Rabiot forced a save from Emi Martinez. Messi then struck a powerful shot that forced a brilliant save from Hugo Lloris. In extra time, Argentina regained its composure and started dominating. Lautaro Martinez had a shot blocked brilliantly from close range by Deo Upamecano. Martinez then had another chance but shot wide. In the 108th minute, Argentina took the lead. A long ball came to Martinez, who exchanged first-time passes with Messi and Fernandez. Martinez then fired a powerful shot that Lloris could only parry into the path of Messi, who scored from close range. Guy Mowbray commented, "Lionel Messi with one more magical, magnificent twist in the tail." In the 118th minute, France took a corner that came to Mbappe in the far corner of the box. He took a curling shot that struck Gonzalo Montiel's arm. A penalty was awarded. Mbappe scored with a powerful shot to become only the second player after Geoff Hurst in 1966 to score a hat-trick in a World Cup final. Incredibly, there was still time for more action. In the last minute of extra time, a long, hopeful ball fell to Kolo Muani, who was through on goal. He struck a powerful low shot, but Emi Martinez made himself big and made one of the most important saves in football history. Argentina immediately countered and a cross came to a wide-open Lautaro Martinez, but he headed the ball miles wide. The game went to a penalty shootout. Mbappe stepped up first and scored with a powerful strike for the fourth time in the final. Messi then stepped up for Argentina. He calmly rolled the ball past Lloris. "Well, that's stylish," Guy Mowbray exclaimed in commentary. Dybala and Paredes scored for Argentina. Martinez saved a penalty from Coman and Tchouaméni sent the ball wide. Kolo Muani scored for France. Montiel sealed World Cup glory for Argentina. Argentina were the champions for the third time. Messi had finally won the big one. His relief and happiness were obvious. "So many times I dreamed it. So many times I wanted it. I still haven't fallen. I can't believe it. The world seemed to be in awe of what they witnessed. Alan Shearer commented, "We're breathless up here. It was just an unbelievable final. It was a pleasure to be here. I've never seen anything like it, and I don't think I'll ever see anything like it again." Notable stats from the tournament include 172 goals scored in 64 games, 2.69 per match, 3.4 million attended the games, and an average of 53,000 per match. France scored the most goals with 16, and Mbappe scored the most with 8. Messi won the Golden Ball. Well, that was the story of the 2022 World Cup.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, mieux que le monde.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE,
Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE in English for Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. That documentary on the World Cup, plural, World Cups, you can find on YouTube channel The Sports Files, that do great content about the history of football in English. Ana Maroto was our sound technician for today. My name is Fernando Farias. I'd like to thank you very much for tuning in on RAE. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Join us tomorrow for a new one.